Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brother, and thank you for tuning in to the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr. This was a rough time trying to get this show ready to air. I guess I'll share that with you further into the show, I think. I'm not sure. I want to tackle this lesson that we left off on because I'm sure a lot of people, their appetite was wet and they really needed to know why Jesus told Mary not to touch him. The rough part is whenever God is using you to minister and to feed his word raw and uncut with no artificial preservatives or no artificial flavoring or no ideology or no opinion-based doctrine or tradition or denominational doctrine. Whenever God is using you to minister his word and you're not using any of those additives, the devil is very intimidated. He attacks you. He challenges everything that God uses you to minister to his sheep. Because before the minister can feed it to the sheep, the minister has to know it themselves. As you notice, we're doing things a little different tonight. Let's pray for a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this time of fellowship. Thank you for the time of gathering. Thank you for the way that you blessed this show to air on time. Thank you, Lord, for the way that all day today you have shown me that without you I can do nothing. And I'm sure I'm not the only one you showed that to today. Thank you for answering some questions. Thank you for answering some prayers. Thank you, O Lord, for organizing some things, for gathering some things and removing some things. Just thank you for being you and for being the watchman in our life. It's something how we often want to take on the responsibility of a watchman, and without you, we can't watch nothing. But it's a blessing when you yourself sit on the wall and you begin to watch. Watching out for your people. So I ask that you make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and give me a spiritual understanding of your word. And you always lead me to ask you that because it's very important to do that, to ask you to make me usable and use me. Allow me to decrease that you may increase. And again, I ask you to feed your sheep, Father, your sheep. Feed them. And please don't forget about me. I need to be fed also. I need your presence right now. We thank you for everything. Let this lesson be deep yet simple, and simple yet deep. And let it be understood even by those considered novices in the things of God. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I pray. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn to John chapter 20. I'm in the King James Version, and I'm going to read the description of the lesson. The atmosphere after the death of Jesus was very still. There were many that were impacted by his death. Many were still talking about it. Many couldn't believe it still. Many others didn't remember what he had said about raising up 3 days later. Sunday morning, the first day of the week, we find Mary Magdalene coming to the sepulcher while it was yet dark and seeing the stone taken away from where Jesus' body had been laid. She was startled. She ran to Peter and John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and she told them that the Lord's body had been taken away and that she didn't know where he had been taken. Luke's account says that the women which followed Jesus, who were from Galilee, beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. He also said that they came to the tomb on the first day of the week with the spices that they had prepared. Mark also mentioned more than one woman, but this lesson surrounds Mary Magdalene. She had a certain type of relationship with Jesus. Jesus had healed her from a tumultuous time in her life. Now she was upset. Something happened that is often overlooked by many ministers and that escapes many sermons when it comes to this passage. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of studying concerning God's truth. I would like to warn you, though, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order, but the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, which is God's bestseller. This is part two of the teaching series, Jesus the Christ. Let's read John chapter 20, starting at verse 1. Scripture says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, in Jesus' name, please minister this word to us. Empower us. Fill us with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and give us a spiritual understanding of your word. And stir us up with your joy and allow us to discern your presence. And make this so simple that even a 3-year-old can understand it. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Mary Magdalene. Her name might mean that she was from Magdala, which is on the southwest coast of the Sea of Galilee. She was a devoted disciple of Jesus after he cast 7 demons out of her. She traveled with him along with Joanna, who also had been healed by Jesus from demons, and Susanna, and many others who supported Jesus' earthly ministry, and they supported his disciples from their private earthly means. You can see that in Luke chapter 8. Verse 2. Mary had been healed by Jesus. She traveled with him during his earthly ministry. She's seen many things happen. She was a witness to a lot of things that went on during his earthly ministry. She had a relationship with him. There are quite a few Marys mentioned You know how people have the same name sometimes. But there was only one Mary Magdalene with the issues and the baggage that she had that Jesus healed her from, as she was very grateful. We know that she was grateful because when she went to the tomb and saw that he was gone, it bothered her. When she got there and saw that the stone was rolled away, it bothered her. Because, see, when the stone was put there, there was a seal put on it saying that it wasn't to be touched. So she found it odd that the stone was moved. So odd that she ran to Simon Peter and told him, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that was John. Not John the Baptist, but the other John, the one that leaned over on his breast at the Last Supper, that John, the one who wrote the book of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, that John. They went to the sepulcher, and when they went, therefore went forth, and John also, but they ran together, but John outran Peter, and he first came to the sepulcher, and stooping down, he looked in and saw the linen cloth laying there, but he didn't go in. But Peter came and went into the sepulcher and seeth the linen cloth lie, and the napkin that was wrapped around Jesus' head, it was not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So one that looked at this, looked and saw whoever took this off Jesus, laid it neatly. It wasn't no rush. It was neatly done. Little did they know it was Jesus himself that did it. When the Holy Spirit entered back into that body and rose that body up, he took off his own grave clothes and neatly folded them and laid them down where the body was. Calm, collective, collected in every bit of God. This is so powerful. And when they saw this, Peter went in, because remember, Peter denied him. So there was something. If Jesus has risen, then Peter really would like to talk to him, because he left. Everything ended on a bad note between him and Jesus. Jesus told him, Satan has asked to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for thee that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. And Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'm not me. I am not gonna go through this. I'm ready to go with you unto death and to prison. And Jesus said, man, listen, by the time the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And when it happened, Peter felt bad. He felt bad. He felt bad. He just felt bad. Has there ever been a time where you wish that you could just go back and redo what you did that you know saddened Jesus? Well, this is what Peter went through. So John, he loved Jesus. John was the one that stood at the foot of the cross, and Jesus said, John, watch over my mother. And he said, mother, take John as your son. So John left on a good note. Everything ended on a good note with him. Judas had went and hung himself because he wasn't saved no how. But Peter was warned by the Lord. There's a lot of us that God has warned about stuff. There's a lot of us that God has warned about people. There's a lot of us God has warned about places. And there's a lot of us that God has warned about things. And when he warned us, we didn't listen. And then what happened is we got what we got because we didn't listen. We thought we could out-talk Jesus. We thought we were smarter than him. Just because it didn't make sense that God could sit on his throne in heaven and walk the earth at the same time, we said it's impossible. And that made us miss out on a relationship with him. The thought that God gave me for this lesson was, do you have a relationship with him? The title is, you need to get with people who Jesus healed also. Mary Magdalene, she traveled with some sisters, one of whom Jesus had healed before from demons also, Joanna, Luke 8, verse 2. And the rest of the sisters, they all supported Jesus' earthly ministry. There's a lot of people that the Lord has said unto you, support, I'm going to say this, God, give it to me, support this ministry because of how God feeds you through the ministry, because of how the ministry is used by God to relate to you and answer your questions and to be available for you when you call by phone or when you write by email, whatever the case may be. Because a workman is worthy of their hire. Okay, people don't always understand that, but Satan does. Because again, when God is using the man or the woman of God to teach and preach the gospel in its rawest form, what happens is Satan attacks the man or the woman of God. He does. Because he wants to make us take back everything we said about God. There's nothing like when you're going through all kind of attacks and yet you're in a position where God still uses you to tell people that God will make a way. Sure, he sure will make a way. And a lot of times why God is using you to say that, when you look at your own life, sometimes you don't see the way being made. And that caused us to go to God and say, Father, what about me? What about me? Peter looked in the sepulcher because he wanted to make sure. He rose. I need to see, is there any trace? I need to do some investigating. And when he saw that everything was wrapped up and everything was fine and neatly put away, verse 9 says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But in verse 10 it says, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Verse 11 says, but Mary stood outside of the sepulcher crying. No doubt she was remembering how Jesus healed her. She was remembering how she traveled with Jesus. She no doubt was remembering how he did the miracles and fed the 5,000, which was the men. That wasn't including the women and the children. She was remembering. Have you ever remembered the things that the Lord done for you and it just brought tears to your eyes? You remember. You remember how he brought you out of that crack house or how he brought you out of that life of prostitution, whether you're male or female, how he brought you out of the life of drinking and fighting and carousing and murder and robbing people, being stick-up kids and so forth. Oh, my goodness, smoking a half ounce of weed a day, that's what I used to do, and the Lord delivered me and brought me out. Have you ever thought about where he brought you from, out of that bad relationship, out of that hurtful, abusive relationship, out of that neglectful relationship? Have you ever thought about how he brought your children from where he brought them from? They were living wayward lives, but God used you to pray for them, and now they're living right. Mary, weeping, remembering. And as she was crying, she stooped down, Scripture says, verse 11, and looked into the sepulcher. Oh, my goodness, memories. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, Peter and John didn't see this. Sometimes the Lord, when you have a certain relationship, it could be five of you that have a relationship with God and y'all be together, and all five of you, God will show you something different about himself. Peter and John, when they saw the grave clothes neatly folded up and laid there, okay, they saw that and they, wow, you know, that baffled them, but they went on about their business. But Mary looked in, crying, remembering, reflecting, and saw two angels. You might want to put this in your notes. In every ministry, there should be angels seen. There should be. There should be angels seen, and there will be when the ministry has capitulated to the way of God. When the Holy Ghost is the orchestrator of the ministry, and he is the head of it, and the service is subject to change as the Holy Ghost leads, all of that, you will see angels in the ministry. Mary saw this. She saw this. And they said to her, verse 13, "Woman, why weepest thou?" She said unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." My Lord. She professed to be a Christian. Remember, Peter denied her, but Mary said, "My Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." This is a mystery. Inquiring minds want to know, where have they laid my Lord? I have a relationship with him. I'm concerned about him. Even after seeing all he went through on the cross, I'm concerned about what happened to the body. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. You know, a lot of times when we go through things and we say, "Lord, where are you?" You know, a lot of times he's standing right there, but he just don't let us see that he's standing right there. He don't let us see that he's with us. A lot of times we have forfeited blessings because we thought the Lord wasn't there, and all the while he was right there. But God being such a great teacher, there's times that when he don't even say nothing, he's teaching. When the rooster crows, when the cock crew, after Peter denied him three times, one passage of scripture says the Lord just walked by him and looked at him. He didn't even say nothing. He just looked at him. He was standing there. But she didn't know it was Jesus because he didn't let her know. He made it so that she didn't know. He blinded her. He used his omnipotence, his almightiness, so that she wouldn't know it was him. Then he said to her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. I'll be responsible for him." Joseph of Arimathea had his moment. Now I'm going to have mine. I will be responsible for him. There's nothing like the love of a woman. There's nothing like the love of a daughter. There's nothing like the love of a wife. There's nothing like the love of a sister or a mother or a grandmother. I will be responsible for him. I'll take him away. Because he'll not take him away, he's going to be dignified. He's going to be respected. He's going to be taken good care of. Because I remember what he did for me. We need to remember what he's done for us and stop hurting him like we've done. Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master, Master." All it took him to say was, "Mary." There's a lot of us that Jesus has called our name. He called our name. And then we knew it was him. While we were, oh, glory. While, oh, hallelujah. While we were going through a situation or a circumstance, all it took was for him to say one thing, and we knew he was right there. And she loved him so much. She was so excited. She was so happy. She went to grab him, one passage of scripture says. And Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now here's where we're going to stop at, because we're going to dissect verse 17. We're going to take the meat off the bone. We're going to chew on this thing. Why did he say, "Touch me not"? "For I am not yet ascended to my Father." That's what the answer is. One of the answers is that. But it goes deeper than that. And the other answer is connected to, "For I am not yet ascended to my Father." You got to understand, well, all that body went through on the cross and before getting on the cross, all that body went through, and like we was discussing last night, the natural explanation of how he died was his body went in shock because of the pain, because of the excruciating pain and stakes being driven through his hands and through his feet and oh my goodness, and being pierced in the side and stuck with a spear and blood and water pouring out on the ground. All of this that he went through, torture, being beat, carrying a cross all night long. All night long he was, the last hours, all night long he was in trials. Seven unfair trials. They were unfair, some of them was, because there's not supposed to be no trials at night. Court is not supposed to be held at night, but it was. You're not supposed to be arrested and tried in the same day, but he was. It was a lot that he went through that was unfair. All night long, then carrying his cross, which the cross weighed about 350 pounds, all night long, suffering, being, going through. He said before that, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death going through. He asked his disciples to pray with him. And he went away a stone's throw and prayed and came back, and they were asleep. He woke them up. You can't stay awake 1 hour. And he went back and prayed again. And all night long he was going through. And this body on the cross was tired. He said, it is finished. He came here. He suffered. He died. He gave up his life so that we could be saved from the power of hell. He challenged the devil in the wilderness in Matthew 4, and now the devil thought, yeah, I got you now. But he didn't, because when Jesus gave up the ghost, that ghost, that spirit, that pneuma went back into the spirit realm and handled some things. Snatched the keys from Satan. Didn't ask him for it. Snatched them. The keys of death and of hell. Snatched them. Made a spoil of principalities openly. Made them look stupid. Then went and preached to the souls that were in prison. And captivity was led captive. They were ushered to the third heaven. And then he went back into the earth realm and got back in this body and raised it up. If you're taking notes, remember this. The reason he was dead 3 days, because according to Jewish custom, if you're dead 3 days, you sure enough dead. If you're dead 4 days, then you start to decay and stink. That's why when Lazarus was dead, and Jesus said, roll away the stone, and they said, he's been dead for 4 days, he stink. Jesus said, roll away the stone, it don't matter, just roll away the stone. But the Bible says in the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus, the worm would not eat the body, so Jesus was not going to decay. Neither was a bone going to be broken on him. So he fulfilled scripture the way he acted all of this out. But what we want to deal with is that body, the anointing it took to raise this body from the dead. Jesus said, I pick up my life. He said, I lay it down and I pick it up. Nobody take it from me. So he, the anointing, the omnipotent anointing and trait of God, raised this body back up, this body that had been through so much torture and suffering, raised it up from the dead 3 days later, and he neatly folded up the grave clothes and walked out of the tomb. And Mary was going to touch him. He said, No, the anointing on this body is too strong. See, if anything touched this body that is not holy, it's going to explode. It's going to be done. It's going to be a wrap. It's going to be destroyed because, see, you'll be touching this glorified body. I have not yet ascended to my Father, meaning I didn't go to heaven and check in yet. I got to go to heaven and check in and show all the angels, here I am. I got to go and punch the time clock. I got to go and lay this body down up in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, because the work was done, and sitting at the right hand, the right side is honor. The left side is sinister. So I got to sit at the right hand of the Father. The Holy Ghost went back to heaven and took that body off. He took off his disguise. and sat it at the right hand. Oh, Yadamoshika. Oh, no, you got to understand this. The same way you take off your shirt at night, the same way you take off your clothes at night, the same way you take off your dress when you get ready to go to bed, you take off your clothes and you hang it up. He took off his disguise and he sat it at the right hand. And when he did that, it was proof that he didn't come back, but he came back victorious. Then he began to come back and appear. We're going to talk about that the next time. Some of the people he appeared to and their reactions. So it's important, again, like that, like we initially was talking about last night, when that question was asked, who do men say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist. But who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because no man revealed this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed this to you. Now listen, brethren. Who he is and was connected to why he was able to do what he did. And again, he did it for us. God loved us so much that God said, I need to offer a sacrifice. See, in the Old Testament, when you went to the priest to ask for prayer, the priest would offer, make sacrifices for you and offer up things to God. First, he would make sacrifices for himself. Then he would make sacrifices for you. And then he would pray for you. And then if someone else came right behind you, the priest, again, would make more sacrifices for himself and then sacrifices for the person. And then it would go on and on and on. If 20 people came, then he would make at least 40 sacrifices, 20 for himself and 20 individual ones for the people that asked for prayer. But God said, no. I got the one sacrifice. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and we're going to close with this. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11, let's go back. Verse 8. The Holy Ghost did signify that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. Now he's saying that the way into the holiest of all was through Jesus Christ, but that didn't appear yet while the first tabernacle was still standing in the Old Testament. Then it says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ, being come in high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, capital S, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Glory be to God. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all, while the testator liveth. whereupon neither the First Testament was dedicated without blood. Jesus came. God the Father, now let's talk theologically, those scholars out there, let's talk on the theological level. God offered himself to himself because he was the only perfect sacrifice. Now, have you given your life to him? Do you have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ? If you need prayer, call 203-745-8162, and God will use me to pray with you right now. If you don't need prayer, fine. And if you're straight, that's fine. But if you need prayer, 203-745-8162, now. Right after you hear this broadcast end. Or if you feel more comfortable or for whatever reason, sharing your prayer request through the ministry's website, the Anointed Prophetic Prayer Corner. Look on the description of this lesson on my wall and you will see the link to share your prayer request. And also, Mary and them supported Jesus' earthly ministry. So why not follow their steed and be a blessing and support this ministry, because we just want to help people. We want to help the homeless, and we do help the homeless, and we help those that are hungry and those that are lost and those that are veterans and runaways. And if it was one of your daughters, wouldn't you want them to be helped? So be a blessing to somebody else's daughter. Help us to help others. Go on the wall on the description of this lesson and look where it says many have asked how they may share a one-time donation. Any amount would be a blessing. Click here, and then there's a link right there. Just click on it and share your love offering, and God will reward you. Don't close your hand. Open it. God gave it to you. Give back in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that I'm going to take the love offering out of the ministry's bank account and bring it to heaven, because you know that's not possible. So when people say, well, we're going to give it to God, they're lying. But what I'm going to do, what the ministry is going to do, is be used by God to share it with others in the name of Jesus Christ. In some way or another, even if it's to buy food to feed people, God gave it to send me on a missionary journey. I'm leaving next week. And when the Lord blessed me to leave, it's a great work that God is going to be using me to do. Sow into the work now so that when the Lord leads me to go and to help this other ministry that God is sending me to do, even with cookouts and stuff like that, that there'll be a love offering that I come with to be able to buy food, to have a cookout for the community that people might come and eat and that they might hear the word and get fed. And also, if you desire, you need help in the ministry need to grow, you need to learn how to go out in the street and get sheep, call this number 203-745-8162, and let's discuss the Lord sending me there to be a blessing to the ministry that he has you over also, or connected to, okay? God bless you. I love you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for blessing us to sit before you. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you for this word. Let it rest, rule, and abide in our spirits and allow us to ponder this all night, even unto sleep. And when you bless us to wake up in the morning, bless us to wake up with a praising and praying spirit, our resources and everything, Father, please, so that we can continue to be a blessing in your name, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for hearing us and for answering us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, brethren, I love you all, and I enjoyed the fellowship. And this is a powerful lesson. I'm going to have to download this from Blog Talk Radio from the archives and listen to it. Oh, God is so good. God is so good. Hold me up in prayer, brethren, please, and continue to pray for the ministry. Don't forget, look on my wall on Facebook and look at the description of this lesson. And let the Lord use you to be a blessing. Share your prayer requests and share love offerings. Okay? God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. And you can call for prayer all night, anytime, 24 hours. All right? As soon as you hear this end, you can call. Start calling in. People usually do, but you could do it also. 203-745-8162. And God will use me to spend time with you and pray with you and for you. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.